It's a gospel on the radio talk show. A show about dreams and visions and a church that is indeed triumphant, alive, and well.
For the church, triumphant, is alive and well.
Hello, Tallahassee. This is the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am your host, and well, I'm excited as I always am on Sunday mornings because it's a wonderful thing to be able to spend an hour with you talking about the kingdom of God. I say we talk about the church and the church triumphant, alive and well. I do have a few rules. We don't talk sports, politics, or doctrine, but we do always speak well of one another. And that's worked out real, real well. And that reminds me to tell you that if you are involved in Christian ministry in some capacity, that I need you right here. Because we're going to talk about your passion, whatever it is. Just give me a call, area code 850-567-1703, and we'll get you here, and we'll do the interview, and we'll have it ready. There, it's Sunday mornings on 94.1 on your radio dial at 8 o'clock. And I have Brother Pastor Luke Whitmore with me. And he is the pastor of the Bridge Church here in Tallahassee, which is a new church,
pretty much.
How old?
About 3.5 years now.
3.5 years. And you are the founder.
I was part of a group of that decided to come and just be faithful to the Lord, and the Lord called us. And I figured if he can use a donkey in the Bible, he can use a he can use me. And we've been very grateful. Yes.
Now let's go all the way back in your life. Were you like one of me? Were you raised in church? Did you have that kind of background?
Yeah. So I grew up, and you know, you've heard it said, you know, 9 months before I was born, I was in church. Well, my mom was real faithful, and my dad too, but my mom was probably more faithful, bringing her kids to church, and we lived about 5 blocks from a church in Hialeah, Florida. And so we started going there, and my dad worked a lot of third shifts, so he didn't go as much, but my mom provided. She knew it was important to raise us in the church. And so my sisters, I have 2 sisters, 1 older, 1 younger, and we were there, and the church just embraced my family. And when I got about 9 years old, I was sitting in church like a normal kid, and the Lord just spoke to me. And when the invitation came, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell, and I needed Jesus. Uh-huh. And I, what was interesting was my sisters had already given their life to Christ. And I looked at my mom and I said, "Hey, I got to go down there." And she stepped out and she said, "Do you want to talk to me? Do you want to talk about it first?" And I said, "No, Mom, I know what I got to do."
Praise God. That's
it. It kind of hurt her a little bit, you know, because she led my sisters to the Lord. Yeah. But the Lord's been so kind and faithful. And
but she had a tremendous impact in all of that.
That whole church had an impact. I had Miss Betty in the nursery that hugged us when we were babies. You know, there's just, if you're not part of a local church, man, you're missing out.
And you're singing my song.
Man, listen. So I'm grateful. You know, it's just God's faithfulness, you know, and I don't ever put, you know, maybe you've had this too, Pastor King, as well, you know. When I was growing up, I didn't have that real big, crazy testimony of like, you know, I was running the streets and things like that. And I always thought that my testimony was kind of not inferior, but it was.
I know what you're saying.
I was a bad kid because I was a sinner, but I wasn't like running and doing the wrong things that, you know, my friends in college, you know, told me that they got saved from. And I was in college. I remember this. I was in college one day, and one of my buddies had a real rough life. I mean, just, he was, he dealt with so many things that I never had to deal with, you know, broken home, you know, abandonment and, drugs, alcohol. I mean, it was bad. I mean, he had a rough go, and, never grew in church, and he came to church. We were playing football at, Gobbie High School when they had the track, and you could go out there and just play in the afternoon. And I was like 19 years old, and there's this big old kid standing at the fence, and we're all playing, my buddies from church. And I'm like, "Look at that guy over there. He wants to play." So I called him. I said, "Hey, you want to come play over here?" He came to Christ, and, you know, a few months later he came to Christ, and he told me his testimony about, you know, how his life was. And God just really grabbed my heart, and he said, "You know what, Luke? you always complain about not having this ceremony, shock and awe testimony, but this guy would love to have your testimony.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I'm like, you know what? I'm grateful for that testimony of growing up in church. And
amen. And see, I can identify my best friend, and his name is Richard Joyner, and he grew up in Inslee, Florida.
Okay.
And he used to what he called the Inslee Shuffle. And he grew up with that kind of life you're describing. And one day, I said kind of what you said. I said, well, I don't really have much of a testimony. And man, he jumped on me, and he said, you have the best testimony.
That's right.
Because you've got the testimony of God's provision to take care of you and keep you out of all that kind of stuff. Boy, I said, yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. And I tell students this, like especially young students, like middle schoolers and youth or high schoolers. I'm like, look, my goal is for you not to have scars. Amen. Have as few scars as you can.
Yeah.
I was like, follow Jesus. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to do things that, you know, you're going to regret later. But the goal is not to have scars that are so strong and over that you would just come back to the Lord and the Lord will be faithful and he can restore those things. But man, you're going to have scars.
It just break your heart when you, like if you've been involved in youth ministry and you've poured your heart into these kids and then some of them go on and do the stuff that you've told them not to do, and it just breaks your heart.
Yeah.
But the wonderful thing about it is that they'll remember you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the great thing about that is as much as I love students and much as I love even my own kids, Jesus loves them more. Uh-huh. And Jesus is always going to, I mean, he sought me out. He's going to seek them out. He's never not going to sleep and not think about them.
Right.
And so for me, that's where I'm like, I rest in God's sovereignty and I rest in the idea that he's for people and he Amen. Wants to find the lost. And, but I do hate it. I hate it when kids walk away and adults too, not just kids. Yeah. And,
the thing is that you know, you see the path, and you know, yes. and you
That's
know
exactly
where they're
right.
going.
It
reminds me of the proverb of the guy that's looking out the casement of his window, and he sees this young man come walking down the street, and he says, if he goes to the right, he's going to make a serious mistake.
That's right.
And he said, that's the road to hell. That's what it says.
Yep.
And that's the way I feel a lot of times about these young people. I said, don't you realize the direction you're going? But they're young, they're immature, they don't understand, unfortunately.
And sometimes they just get bad advice.
Yeah.
And you know, I can remember a time I was a college pastor for a long time, and I will always love college age students, because for some reason that 18 to 25, 27 year old, you know, there is a lot of life decisions in that time frame.
Yes.
And man, if you can get a kid or a young person to get on fire for the Lord in that time frame, you know, there's a long life of making a huge difference for the Lord.
Yeah.
But I remember this one time where there was a young girl. She was a freshman in college and her brother was a senior, and her brother was not super involved in church. He came every once in a while. She was very much on fire for the Lord. And she started going to FSU, and I remember a moment we were having a college event, you know, Bible study, and I got done teaching, and I came up and we were talking. So I talked to her brother a little bit, cause I didn't see him much. And I remember this clear as day, and he turns and says to his sister, who's 18, 19 years old, you know, hey, listen. And he called her name. He said, the church will always be here for you. Go do and have fun. And I was younger back then and I didn't know how to filter things as much, my wife said. And I looked at her and I said, that is the dumbest thing he could ever tell you. And I said it right to her. I was like, don't do that. I was like, you're going to have scars.
Right.
You know, look, yes, the Lord is going to be there for you. He's always, he's faithful. Yeah. But man, he doesn't want you to go.
There could be some really bad consequences, and you'll pay for the consequences.
You know, and what's funny is the girl kind of took advice from her brother kind of went away for a couple of years, and she came back. But praise God, she came back, and she came to me one day and said, "You know, Luke, I was I remembered you." And she goes, "Do you remember this conversation?" I said, "I do," and she said, and she had a couple rough relationships, she just told me, she said, you know, God got her heart and just called her back, and she came back. She had some scars, and, you know, and I said, you know, and I told her, I said, look, the Lord loves you. He can restore. He can rebuild. He can do whatever. He's the God of restoration.
Right.
And so now she's happily married. She's married to a minister over in Alabama, and, faithful. They're faithful. And he's been a faithful minister for over 10 years now.
Right. Yeah. The thing is, talk about the consequences. I mean, sure. They end up with something that, man, hurts their body permanently. They'll pay for that the rest of their lives. Yeah. And then, if they end up being pregnant outside of marriage, that there's a price to be paid for all of that. And that's why you say, if there's possible, that the Holy Spirit go to them when they're young, and help them to make that determination to walk with you. But it's a tough time in the day and age we're in now, because there's so much pressure.
And I
grew up in the '60s. Yeah, we had pressure, but
it's
nothing,
different.
Nothing,
it's different.
Nothing like what they're doing with today.
I had that conversation just yesterday with how hard it is. For a young person, I mean, talking about, you know, kindergarten, elementary, junior high, high school, or middle school, high school, you know, college, they have a different challenge than even I had growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's, you know, one of the hardest things, and what I've been seeing probably more than most is, yes, the physical is a challenge, but the emotional is maybe worse.
But it's so confusing.
It's worse.
And then if the adults can't figure it out, how do they expect the kids to? And I mean, even go as high as the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
They can't figure things out. So where does that lead the rest of, especially the children who are trying to make their way through life? And that's why they need to be, as you said, church.
Well, I met with a young girl just recently, and while we were meeting, she's young. She's, you know, 18 years old, I think, with one of our ministers. And we were having this conversation, and, you know, she's kind of new to coming back to church, really not been in church much. And so we're having this conversation and talking about Jesus. You know, I really just want them, you know, my desire is for every person to have a relationship with Christ. And we're just having a candid conversation. I said, just tell me about yourself. I don't know much about you. And so she's telling me her story, and she, you know, doesn't have, her parents are not in the picture, and God's just, really, using the grandparents. And really it's been a friend, like an older couple in their 80s that has kind of adopted her.
And well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And they encourage her, and she's been coming, and so she's been faithful for the last 6 or 8 weeks. And so I said, I talked to our youth associate, and I said, look, let's get together. Let's go talk with this young lady. And so we were talking, and I'm sharing the gospel. We're talking, and just about Jesus. What does that look like? And she's not there yet, but she's getting there. She's getting God's drawing her near. And she brings up towards the end, well, now, you know, Pastor Luke, I identify bisexual. And I said to her, and she said, what do you think about that? And I said, you know, here's the deal. I said, God saves people from sin. And it really doesn't matter. There's only one sin in the Bible that he cannot save you from, and a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I said, but everything else, I was like, he saves gay people every day. He saves atheists every day. He's God. He calls the man and woman out. And so she just asked this question. I said, you know, you're trying to solve a spiritual question before you ever come to Christ. Uh-huh. And I told her, I said, you need to, if you truly believe Jesus is the Son of God, he died, he loved you, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back, and you believe that, you need to give your life to him.
That's the thing about it, is that the tendency sometimes is just write them off. You know? And you didn't do that. Thank the Lord for that.
Listen, I could have been written off. Really? Hey. I mean, I heard this one time from one of my old pastor buddies that I served with, and we were in Leon County Jail, and we were visiting somebody, one of our church members. And he struggled and he got in trouble. And so you go down that long hallway. I don't know if you've been there, but you go to the pods and you got this long walk and I'm walking. This is the very first time I ever went. And, I was walking with my pastor and he goes, and we're walking down this, it's gotta be 300 feet.
It seems like it's forever.
It may not be 300 feet. And he said, he said something along the lines of, only by the grace of God, I'm not in here. And you know what? That's true. That's true. Yeah. One bad mistake. Yeah. One mistake.
Sure.
Any of us could. And so I look at this young lady and I've had working with college students, I've seen quite a numerous backgrounds and the Lord always shows up in those conversations.
But the thing about it is that to be able to look at a situation and not just judge it on his face and say, okay, that person still has the love of God. There's mercy extended to
made in the image of God.
Whoever.
That's right.
So, yeah. So you don't write somebody off. At the same time, you don't say, oh yeah, I'm with you on this. No. You stand with the scriptures and with what you feel like is right, but you never stop loving somebody.
Well, you hit it right on the head there, Pastor King. Here's what I know. God can do whatever, whenever he wants.
Yes, he can.
And you know what? And I told this young lady, I said, look, I'm going to tell you that it's wrong based on scripture. But also know that God knows that. God knows that about you.
Right.
It doesn't mean he's not calling you. He's calling you to change. And I said, he calls a liar to change.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want to talk about gluttony or anything like that because I like to eat. And I said, but there's times in my life that I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yeah. I fail at that every day.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that God doesn't still love.
Like I said, it's confusing in this day and age we're in.
Because of everything
that's coming against them and the things that are being taught. Of course, media has such an impact. Yeah, impact in our lives. Yeah, that's the right word. And that's what these young people are dealing with. And,
every day.
And to be able to have the impact of the church situation, our ministries, college ministries,
absolutely,
wherever people are touching people. And let me just put a little footnote. That's why I need those people to come and sit where you're sitting.
It's a harmless plug. Come on. Pastor King's a good man. You'll enjoy your time with him. I totally support him and endorse him.
Here's what I tell people. I say, if we don't tell our story,
who's
going to tell it for us?
Well, the power of our testimony, right? The Bible tells us that.
That's why this program is here.
Absolutely.
And so that people, the Christian church, the family of God can come tell your story so we can tell it right.
Yeah. every person when they encounter Christ and God invades their life has a story.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And that story needs to be told.
And that story, and the story is true.
Right.
Here's the craziest part. My testimony is my testimony. And you can't refute that because that's what happened to me with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, there's power in your testimony.
When people hear your testimony, it's going to speak to them.
Sure. Yeah. And whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do.
Let me do this. Let's get back for a moment because I want to do this several times during the show. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Bridge Church.
Yes.
Where are you located? What time are your services? And people may want to come worship with you.
Sure. So right now we are worshiping at Community Christian School up in Killarn off Carry Force Parkway. We have small group at 9 a.m. And then it's age graded anywhere from bed babies all the way to centurions if you want. We have a group for you. And then at 10:30 we have our service. And usually we're done by about 11:45.
That 9 o'clock, is this kind of like Sunday school?
Yeah, Sunday school, small group. Yeah. So it's a smaller dedicated Bible time teaching. Most of our groups are running from about maybe 8 to 20 folks in the group. There's a place for you, and you bring your kids. We got children and youth and young professionals. So anybody that's breathing and hearing our voice tonight or to this morning, please come and be a part.
Plenty of parking. That sort of thing.
Super easy.
It's right there. It's easy to find.
Yes, sir.
In Killarn. They're right there near the roundabout.
Ace Hardware, right across from Four Oaks.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you. Okay. If you don't have a church or if you're looking for a church, you're more than welcome. The preaching's okay. The people are great. So we're working on the preacher.
Now, what about Easter? Do you got anything special for Easter?
Yes, sir. So on Easter Sunday, we have a 7:30 in the morning sunrise service.
Okay.
And then we're going to actually have a pancake breakfast right on the basketball court at 9 and then 10 o'clock. So we got a little bit of different time for our main service. It'll be at 10 o'clock. And then we'll probably be done about 11:15, depending on how everything goes. But we're really excited. And if you don't have plans, please be feel like you're invited by the pastor. We'd love to see you, and you. I think you'll be blessed to come.
So it'd be 7:30
in the morning,
10 o'clock for the regular worship.
10 o'clock
worship. Won't have the small groups on
on that Sunday. Yeah. Correct.
Okay, well, there you go. You got a place to go.
Well, you're invited.
Yeah. And of course, I'm the pastor of Freedom Road.
Yeah,
we're on the other side of town. If you want to come over there.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to start at 11:05. Now, we don't call it sunrise service anymore. We did sunrise service on the little hill right here where we are now for years and years and years. But we've decided we don't like that early morning hour. So we just call it a resurrection service.
There you go.
And we do it at 8 o'clock, but it's in a private location, so we don't give out the location.
Gotcha.
But if you want to come, you call me. We can work.
There you go. You'll give them the address.
But it sounds like you can go out to Killarney and get pancakes.
Well, you know what's interesting? When the church started, we were over on the old Cross Creek golf course, par 3, on 90 East, right before the interchange on I-10. And it was like 20 acres. And so, Pastor King, we had... You know, I've never done a sunrise service. At my old church, we didn't do that, and I haven't been part of a sunrise service. But when you're on an old debunked golf course, you're going to get to see the sun. And so we mowed it, and we had quite a few folks show up. And
I remember you being there now that say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that because you're at the – were you meeting in that little restaurant thing?
The old clubhouse, yes, sir.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember seeing the signs.
Oh, yeah. We were very fortunate.
Yeah. Okay. Did not connect it until just now. So
it's part of our story. And you know what? And honestly, that was a miracle that we even, 3 weeks before we launched our first Sunday, we had the date down. Like we're going to start October 11th, 2020, but we had no location, but God has a way of, convicting, you if you're trying to serve him, I think. And when he called me to start a church, it all went extremely quick, you know, and, you know, he called me and I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. And so I did a little bit of research and we started and, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know who wants to come. And long story short, this was like in August. In September, you know, we had a little meeting at the end of August and people were interested in coming. And so my family was going to another church where my friend's a pastor at. And, I got one Monday morning, I woke up in September and God just reminded me. He goes, Luke, I called you to start a church and you haven't even met. And I'm like, oh no. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to start a church. Let's go. And I said, all right. And so I called my buddy and I said, hey, I think we're just going to start. I'm picking a date. Let's just start October 11th. And he goes, you know, that's like 6 weeks away. I said, I know. Let's just do it. And he's like, okay. And seriously, the Lord just opened. I mean, we looked everywhere for a place, couldn't find anything. And then, one of our church members, or not even a church member, because we hadn't even had met yet. But somebody that was going to come alongside to help us and said, you know, I know of this place. What about the old golf course? And I was like, I don't even know who owns that. And so he's like, I think I know. And long story short, I got in front of that person. We got in front of that person and that person was kind. I said, you can meet there. And this was two and a half weeks before we had the first service. And it hadn't been used in almost 2 years. Huh. So we had to go in there, clean up and did all that's going. But I mean, God's just faithful.
Now, where is the, you said there's a clubhouse there. Is it way back in
there? No. So right when you used to come in, you come in the part 3, they used to have the driving range that was like 3 stories right to the left. It was the pro shop. And so we, busted out a little bit of a wall and really just cleaned it up.
But that's not the restaurant, the little restaurant that's there. Is that?
Oh, no. The restaurant's on the other side of the creek.
Right.
So that's a little different location.
Yeah. I know there's a Shell station right up there.
Correct.
You know, it's got the big, look like a big backstop out there where they catch the golf balls.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what we did.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a blessing.
Yeah.
It was a true blessing. Mr. Moore was very kind to us and, you know, just really made a way for us to start. Mm-hmm. And we were there for 2 years and, then it got sold and, the new owner allowed us to stay there another year pretty much. And then he got to the point where, hey, he told me, he said, you know, we're going to be developing this and we have a slotted date for some demolition. And I said, I talked to the church. I said, you know what? It's probably better we move in our own time versus on another, you know, short schedule.
Right. And then at the same time, God's working with Brother Eli over there.
Yeah.
And they're getting their building finished up.
100%. Brother Eli was there for a long time.
Yeah.
Like 6 or 7 years.
But he was renovating another building.
That's exactly right.
And having some permitting problems and stuff. But God's timing here.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
What was funny is we talked to a CCS, Community Christian School, and earlier in the summer, and it was available. And I'm like, well, I don't know what we're going to do yet. And we kind of got away from it. And, about, I guess, September or so, we were kind of striking out and I thought for sure it would be rented. And I reached back out to, Linda up there, Linda Morris. And I said, Linda, this is Luke, you know, hey, from the bridge, have you guys found a renter? She goes, no. And we have been very nervous about that because they count on that money.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I think maybe she goes, that'd be great. Come. And they've been a wonderful partner. I mean, I will tell you that they are Community Christian School. My kids don't go to school there, but I'll tell you what, I think their hearts for Jesus and their desire to impact these younger generation. I think they're phenomenal. Uh-huh. And, you know, and they were very kind to us and we've had a great partnership and, their flexibility and, their ability to accommodate.
It's God's provision.
It's God's provision.
And this thing about, trying to find, facilities.
Oh,
I hear this a lot around the community. Churches, people are starting churches, different things. People sell the buildings. Now they need another building. I'm very, let's see, I've been involved in that since some capacities. And I know it's a struggle.
It is.
And then if you want to go try to build a building, that's a whole different world.
It is.
In itself.
Is.
And I've known some pastors who had to deal with some of those type of things too. But, but the thing about it is that I've always prayed, so Lord, in the city of Tallahassee, let us work together.
We're better together.
It is.
That's a true statement.
Yeah, work together. And one of the things that I've enjoyed in doing this radio show is that I've gotten to meet so many different people, and I kind of have a sense of what's happening in those things. And you realize we're not alone here.
Okay.
We're not alone. We're all serving the same God. We want the same things. We want to see souls saved. That's where our heart is.
That's right.
And I know that's yours. Let me tell you, if you're just tuned in, this is the Gospel on the Radio Talk Show. I get to do this every Sunday morning. I love it. I love being able to spend time with you. And, of course, one of the things that I always do, that's one of the reasons why let's just put it this way. I like Southern Gospel music. This is the Booth Brothers. Well, thank you for the miracles. They have the smoothest voices. That's the Booth Brothers, and this is the Gospel on the Radio Talk Show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am your host, and I have been now for, as I said, 1,166 shows. We started this in July of 1992 at 1330 a.m., and God's been faithful all these years. Now, I'm also a pastor. I pastor Freedom Road Christian Ministry, 720 Capitol Circle Northeast. We're in the Crescent Park Plaza. 11:05 is our start time. You can find us on the web, frcm.us. And also, if you like Southern Gospel music, like I do, then you're going to want to join me Saturday nights here on 94.1 for the Saturday Night Gospel Sing. It's a full hour of the best music on the planet. And I am convinced, Brother Luke, that in heaven there will be Southern Gospel music. Now, I don't have any doctrine for that. I don't have no Bible for that.
You'll be all right. I'm sure there'll be somebody twanging on something.
Also, Monday through Friday, here on 94.1 at 11 o'clock, it's the daily broadcast, a Gospel on the Radio broadcast. It's a daily Bible teaching of the Word of God. And you can find the daily teaching and the talk shows on the podcast. And all you have to do is type in Pastor Jack King at Tallahassee, and you'll find enough comment to get you any place you're going. If you're traveling in your car, you'll get there and get back, and you'll still have plenty of content left, either the talk show or the daily broadcast. So anyway, Brother Luke Whitmore, pastor, is our guest today. We've been having a good time. Now, Brother Luke, we need to find out a little bit about the call of God in your life. You've kind of alluded to it, kind of got us on the edges of it, but how did this happen that you became a pastor?
So, you know, it's kind of an interesting, I don't know if it's an interesting story. It's interesting to me because it's my story, but, you know, Pastor King, when I grew up in, like I said, I grew up in Hialeah, Florida, and I was in church pretty much all the time, and really we were a faithful family to be in church on Sundays and Wednesdays and Sunday nights back in, I remember, Bible training. I mean, I was an RA. I was all these really just getting, I don't want to use the word indoctrinated, but it's true. I mean, I was just being engulfed with God's word and people that love Jesus. And what was funny, when I was about, I guess maybe a ninth or 10th grader, people would walk up to me and tell me, "You're going to be a pastor." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." I'm like, and actually what I started responding was, "I'm going to be the CEO of Walt Disney World." And they looked like I was crazy. And I told them, I was like, "Michael Eisner this year made $38 million in stock options. I like that job." And and so what's interesting, I left Hialeah, Florida, and moved up to Tallahassee because I went to Florida State. And they actually, back when I went to Florida State, they would take your scores and your grades, and I guess they would kind of sit you on a track on one of your majors. They would guess your major before you got into school. And I was RMI, and I didn't even know what that even meant.
RMI,
Risk Management Insurance. And I'm like, what is this? and I didn't even know I was on that track. Until I got to about my sophomore year. But what was interesting, though, is I always pretty much worked. I had a little lawn business. I know that that's near and dear to your heart. I used to mow grass when I was a kid, and that's how I made some money. I worked at Publix when I was a senior in high school. And when I got up to school up here, you know, my older sister was already here. And so I started working. I started working at the Melting Pot, a restaurant.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Appalachia Parkway.
Yeah. But it was underneath a Barnacle Bills. If you guys remember Barnacle Bills on North Monroe.
Yeah.
And it was in the, the basement area. And I would work in the back, and then I worked there for a year. Mm-hmm. And, what was interesting, there was a guy named Mike. His name was Mike. And, everybody talked about this guy. His name is Mike, and he went and sold books door to door and made a ton of money. And I'm like, I don't know who you were talking about, because he wasn't there during the summer. And so he was a server before he left. And every summer, for the last few summers, he would go off and sell books. And so the rule was, if you left the job and came back, you had to start through the kitchen. Well, I was in the kitchen, and I just worked. You know, I just was faithful to work. Went to work, worked hard, went home, you know, kind of deal. And so, all of a sudden this guy, Mike, shows up, and Mike's, maybe a junior or senior in college and kind of a quiet guy, real nice, you know, and I'm doing work, and about, I don't know, maybe 3 months into us working together, I said, "Hey, I heard you like sold books or something in the middle of Wisconsin or something like that, like in the middle Midwest. He said, yeah. And he said, by the way, Luke, I meant to ask you something. And I said, what did you want to ask me? And he goes, I want you to do it with me this year. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, here's the deal. Just come hear my boss. He comes to the FSU recruiting salesman. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like me, but I'll go. Because he invited me. And so I went. And he kind of prepped me. He said, Luke, there's going to be 30 or 40 people in this room. And my boss is going to get up there and talk. And there's going to be other guys that sell. And he prepped me. He's like, why don't you just take notes of what's going on? I said, yeah, that's fine. I can do that. And long story short, this room went from 40 to three guys. And what was happening was the guy was interviewing us as a group and was picking people out and sending them in the back, say, hey, go talk to like a mic. Uh-huh. And what he was doing is weeding out the class. And I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, I'm still here and these other two guys are here and we're the only ones left out of 40. I'm like, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And, long story short, they asked me to be part of it and I went to a sales school in Nashville. And so I decided to do it and, I made a commitment. I was like, if I go, I'm going to stay the summer. Cause a lot of people quit and they have like crazy statistics about, you know, how many people go to sales school, how many make it out of sales school, how many quit the first week. And long story short, I said, okay. And so I went you go to Nashville, you go through sales school, but you don't know where you're going until the end of the week. Like, I don't know where I moved there.
Right.
Without knowing where we're going.
Okay.
And so we ended up in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And long story short, I've gone to church my whole life. I'm working 6 days a week, 12, 14 hour days. I was averaging like 80 something hours a week. And they would have sales, like training, meetings on Sunday. So I missed church for like 4 weeks in a row. And I finally just said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to the sales meeting. And the next week, I can remember like it was yesterday. I'm walking down a street called Gray Street in, Green Bay, Wisconsin. You can look it up. And there's used to be this, restaurant called Hanson's there. And, so I was walking down the street. My day consisted of getting up about 5:30, going to breakfast at 6, being on the street. I didn't have a car at the time. So my guy dropped me off in the middle of, and he went to another whole different county to sell books.
And just left you there?
Left me there till 9:30 at night.
So, oh no.
And all you did was you walked down the streets and you know what? The first day, you know, they tell you, you're not going to make any money. You're not going to make any money the first 3 weeks. And that was almost true. But the Lord, you know, I found a little bit of a groove, but the first day I remember, I was like, man, this is ridiculous. And then I didn't realize I was going to miss church and I didn't realize how much I missed being with the community of Christ because I wasn't with these guys weren't Christian really people. They may have been Christians, but they weren't. It was a different approach. Okay. And, so I'm walking down Gray Street about 3:20 in the afternoon and I'm miserable. And I'm you know, my quiet time during that time, I promise you, Pastor, is that I've never had a quiet time like I had when I was selling books door to door because the 12 hours I was working, I would say probably 9 hours was pretty much in isolation, just me going between doors and not finding people home. And so I looked like a crazy person because I'd be talking to the Lord, like I'm talking to you and I'm just answering and he's answering. I'm talking. And so I'm walking down Gray Street and, I'm like, Lord, this is so dumb. I left a good job. I could not have to work this hard, you know, and I was like, I just don't like this. And the Lord's never been audible with me, but was pretty close on this one. He goes, so you don't like doing this? I said, no, I hate it. He goes, well, what do you like doing? I was like, well, I like being in church and I like serving you. He goes, that's what I want you to do. And that's when I was called. I was called right then and I went home early that day. Early. I've been on the field for like 9 hours, but I went home early and I called my old youth pastor and I and I was staying. We didn't have a place to stay. We found a place to stay in St. Norbert's College in De Pere, Wisconsin, in the basement of a fraternity house. That's where we lived. And that was a shock to me a little bit. But I called my old youth pastor and told him, I feel like I'm called to go into ministry and do what God wants me to do and serve. And he was having a rough week. And some pastors can, probably some of the pastors, if they're listening, they may not be listening because it's on Sunday morning. But, you know, they can relate to sometimes, you know, when it's rough in ministry, it's hard. And he was having a rough week. He, our senior pastor was out. This was the start of the second week of the pastor being out. So he was doing everything. He was doing youth, children, everything, and preaching and singing. And, and so I called him on a Monday, which Mondays are always tough because it's after Sunday. And he was just like, you know what he said to me? He said, you know, you better pray that's exactly what God wants you to do. Cause if not, you better be sure. Cause that's not, and he's just having a rough week. Like right. It was not the phone call I was expecting.
It wasn't an encouragement.
No, it wasn't. But you know what? I hung up the phone, and you know what? The Lord quickened my heart. And he said, Luke, he didn't mean it. And he said, you know, it was like the devil was trying to get into the call.
Sure.
And he said, and I knew at that moment that it just was confirmation that God wanted me to be serving him. Cause, I mean, it was just, I came back to Tallahassee. I called my parents, told them what's going on. I called my college pastor up here, in Tallahassee. And, when I came back, I started serving at our church and, as an intern. And, but what was amazing is, I met my wife my senior year in college, and I was in banking for a while, for about 11 years. And I call it my Jonah time, you know, when I kind of ran away from the calling that God had called me to. And, when I turned 30 years old, I remember this, like it was clear as day. It was almost like the same day. And on Gray Street, 11 years earlier, I'm 30. And I wake up and God just said, Luke, you know what? If you live to your 90, you're a third of the way done. If you live to your 60, you're halfway done. You still haven't done what I told you to do.
Wow.
My wife's name's Heather. She loves Jesus. She knows about my calling. She knows about all this. And, you know, I stayed in town instead of going off to seminary. And I said, when we were still dating and then got married, and I said, cause she's still in school. I was getting ready to leave for work. I said, hey, honey, I think I need to quit. And
you're talking about your job now.
The job, the Pastor King, I'm going to tell you, I had a really good job.
Yeah.
I was a director of technology. I was making a lot of money for Tallahassee for a young guy with no kids and a wife. I mean, I mean, it was like, it was exactly how you write your script if you were like trying to chase the American dream, you know, making over six figures. I mean, it was crazy how the Lord was blessing and with a lot of perks. Like they gave me a car to drive.
But yet there was a stirring in your soul.
Man, listen, I wasn't content at all. But praise God. Listen, this is a testimony to the Lord. So I'd say to my wife, I said, hey, I got to quit the bank or the credit union. And she says, go quit.
Wow.
And I said, okay. And so I went in that day, and I have my immediate boss was the CEO, and he's a good friend of mine, and he loves the Lord. He loves Christ. And I walked into his office and I closed the door, and I never close the door. Like if I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you the same way I would talk to you in person, in private, in public, but rarely do I ever close the door. And, I close the door, and he looks up from his computer and he said, what's wrong? Yeah, what's wrong? He thinks something wrong. I'm about to tell him we had a breach in security and from the technology.
I was like, no. You weren't hiding that very well.
No. I walked in and I said, hey, man, I got to quit. And he's like, what? I said, I got to go be a pastor or a minister. And he's like, and this is what he said. He said, I figured this was going to happen. Uh-huh. And he said, well, when do you want to do it? Or when are you thinking? And I said, well, tomorrow. I mean, I can resign today if you want. And he goes, no, you can't do that. And he said, you know, if you can give me 45 days. And I said, sure. And I mean, just the Lord's hand. You can see the Lord's hand in it. I resign. I give my notice. 45 days later, I stop the job. I don't have income. And within 2 weeks of that day, I was in seminary, which if you know anything about seminary, sometimes it's, I mean, I have an FSU degree. I don't have, you know, I don't even know what to do for the seminary. And so I reach out to them and I was grateful for my pastor at First Baptist at the time. I called him up and said, hey, can I just meet with you and tell you what's going on? And he said, sure. And he was very kind to me. And he said, I said, I had the application and the paperwork. And I said, I need a church nomination or endorsement. And he's like, I think we can do that. And I said to Dr. Doors, I said, Dr. Doors, you know, I'm, it's really short notice because I would like to really be in seminary this fall. He says, I think I can make a phone call. And this man, and I'm going to tell you, this man is the one of the most humble men I've ever met. And it was still humility in how he said it, but he was going to bat for me. Uh-huh. And the Lord just provided all that.
But now this is all going to happen online. Did you move? You didn't move.
I didn't move because what's interesting. They had so the seminary I went to is New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and they had an extension center in Graceville, Florida, 93 miles. I know the mileage. I drove it quite a bit. I could tell you how long it takes from my house. And 93 miles from here. And so I would drive over on a Monday morning early, stay all day, go to class. And then some semester I would come back on Tuesday and do the same thing. And in that time, there's he's a dean now over at the school, Dr. Jumper, Robin Jumper. Phenomenal man, loves the Lord. Probably one of the most passionate men I've seen for evangelism. Just he's an old country farmer, grew up a country farmer, and man, he's serious about telling people about Jesus. He came up to me, and he was doing an interim pastorate over in Tallahassee, and this is how I got my first job in ministry, paid job in ministry. He said, at the beginning of a semester, you usually tell a little bit about yourself. And he's like, hey, where you go? Well, I'm the only guy in there that's not serving on a church. And I'm the only guy, like, I teach Sunday school. Uh-huh. That's all I do, you know, and I'm 30, you know, and so going into our second semester. So in that first semester, Dr. Jumper said, you know, hey, we got an opening in this Seminole Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida. If you're interested in youth ministry. Well, I was brand new to seminary and I didn't know, I'm not raising my hand for that. And, what's funny is, I'm just trying to figure out seminary. And, and long story short, we go through the semester. The next semester, I have him again for another class and they're still looking for a guy. And so about, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks in of that year, of that semester, Dr. Jumper said, Luke Whitmore. I said, yes, sir. And he said, I need you to meet with me tomorrow. Now, at this time, this is a Monday, and I didn't have a class on it. I was like, I'm tired of driving over 2 days a week. I'm not going Tuesday. And so what I did tell Dr. Jumper is, yes, sir, I'll be here tomorrow. So I drove over 93 miles.
Really?
Just to meet him. Yeah.
Just to go for the meeting.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, it's Dr. Jumper and, you know, and I didn't know what he was going to call me. I didn't know what he was calling me for, but I said, sure, I can be over here. And so I came over there and he sat me down and this is exactly what he said to me. He goes, Luke, here's the deal. Are you serving in a church? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I mean, I'm doing Sunday school. And he goes, no, are you on staff? And I said, no. He goes, what's your passion? What's your mission? I was like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. I feel like I just want to help students, whatever right now. I feel like that's my calling maybe. And he says, here's the deal. He goes, we have tried to hire somebody for this position at Seminole Baptist. And every person we've tried to hire, it just didn't work out. And to be honest with you, the money didn't work. It was too far for them to drive. And we've gone through everybody. And you're the only one left. So you need to take this job. That's what he said to me. And I'm like, Dr. Jump, here's what I want you to do. You pray about it and you get back with me tomorrow.
Now, he's over at the college.
He's over at the college, but he's driving over on Sunday and Wednesday night to do an interim, like, because they're without a senior pastor.
I got it.
Okay. And so he's been standing in for a couple of years, helping them through some transition. And I said, so I came home. I drove home, 93 miles home. And all the way home, driving my little Camry, I was praying. I was like, Lord, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so I get home. I told Heather, I said, hey, here's what happened. And she's like, well, pray about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to pray about it. And I said, I'm going to pray about it. And so I prayed about it. And I, next morning I got up and I'm like, I don't know why I can say no. I'm like, I mean, I don't feel like a huge yes, but I don't feel no.
Right.
And I was like, maybe the Lord's just offering me an opportunity.
Well, but that's okay though.
You know what?
We don't always get the thunder.
We don't always get the thunder, and we don't always get the whole plan.
Yeah.
We get the one step of obedience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's what he wanted to see. Yeah. He said, God just, and so I went back to Dr. Jumper. I called him. I said, Dr. Jumper, I prayed about it. What does this look like? And he says, here's what we're going to do. Wednesday night, I'm going to be there. And so this was a Wednesday, but he said, next Wednesday night, I said, I'm going to talk to the guys tonight about you. And then next Wednesday, we're going to have a meeting and you're going to come in. We're going to talk to the chairman, and he listed all the names. I'm like, okay. I don't even know how to interview for it. So long story short, I interviewed sweet people, really just a good church. And, they were very kind to me. Yeah. And, they ultimately, took a gamble on a young guy that didn't really know what he was doing. The Lord was kind. I mean, we saw people get saved, and I served there for a little over a year. And then God called me over to Emmanuel in Tallahassee and, as a college pastor, because that was really my heart as a college ministry. And I served there for over 11 years, and I was their associate for about 7 of those years. And God just, man, it was just a blessing to be there. And, and then, fast forward till, 2020, and God just opened a door for us to start the Bridge. And, there's always challenges.
Sure.
But the calling, one of the things that I think we underestimate, and you know this because, Pastor King, you've been in ministry for so long. If you don't have the calling on your life to do this, you're not going to do it long.
Yeah, something else that you said a few minutes ago, it's about what to know what to do. And I say this all the time. I say, how do you launch a dream? And I say, you put one foot in front of the other. And you mentioned also earlier about God opening doors and closing doors.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray that prayer. You say, God, if this is not you, don't let it happen.
Yeah.
And then if God closes the door, or don't pitch a fit.
Well, you see that in the Bible.
Yeah, that's what we prayed for. And now, okay, you've shown me which way to go here. And I always say this. I said, it always ends up being more fun than you ever thought it could be.
Yeah, I mean, I truly enjoy ministry, and there's challenges to it, sure. Yeah. But going back to what you're saying, you see in Paul's life, where he wants to go somewhere and God just doesn't allow him to go. The Spirit of God doesn't allow him to go there.
Yeah.
And then
the man from Macedonia says, well, come over here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because he said, no, that was wrong. This is right.
Yeah.
And God's faithful.
He is. He's always faithful.
Yeah. He's faithful to do this.
One of the hardest things, and I know this is hard for me. And it's hard probably for everybody, but it's hard to realize that it's hard to put our faith and trust that God already knows the whole plan. Like, he knows the whole plan.
Yeah, but he does.
And all I have to do is be obedient in the moment. And if I'm obedient in the moment, he's not going to walk me. I mean, the Psalms tells us he's going to walk us through whatever situation and he's going to be there. Yeah. And so for me, that's, he's always been faithful.
One thing in my book, I wrote about this. I said, let's say you want a new car, or not a new car, but just a car.
You need a car.
Okay. Do you go shopping? I said, yeah, you go shopping, but you're not going to buy. You're going to get information. You're learning about the situation. That way, when God brings it to you, you know.
That's exactly right.
This it all fits. This is God. It's the price I want to pay. All that sort of thing. You learn from it. Mm-hmm. Just don't get anxious about it. Then don't jump the gun.
you speak to a good point, and the truth is, every time God's ever moved me, in ministry, in my own life, with my wife or my family, there's always peace involved in it.
Amen.
And, you know, and there was hard times in my ministries where, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen next.
The peace of God.
But the peace of God
is your referee.
It is. It transcends all understanding, the Bible says. And when it even doesn't make sense. And the funniest probably story of that was my dad. My dad, when I left the bank job, he said he couldn't believe I left the bank job. He's like, "You left that really good job?" And I said, "Yeah." I go, "You're going to go be a preacher? What?" And you know what? And he hung up the phone and he said, he called me back like 3 days later and he said, "Luke, I thought about it." Okay. And because I told him what I was going to make at the church and what, and it was about what I made in a month. Uh-huh. And he said, "Here's the deal. You know, those churches, you know, sometimes they'll have dinner like on Sunday afternoon and you can go eat some fried chicken at one of the ladies' house. And you're probably not going to miss a meal." And I said, "That's right, Dad." And years later, I haven't missed a meal. You see me in person. Right. I haven't missed a meal. He's faithful.
He was just concerned about you.
He is.
But the thing about it is that when you step out for God, you just have to learn that if he's called you, it was the old expression, if he called you, he'll equip you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let me just tell the audience, you've been listening to Pastor Luke Whitmore from the Bridge Church, New Church, and he wants you to come worship with him 10 o'clock Sunday mornings.
10:30 Sunday morning.
10:30 Sunday morning. They're out there right near the roundabout in Killarn on Cary Forest Parkway.
Yes, sir. At Community Christian School.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
We always close the broadcast out with prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the gospel through talk. Father, I pray for the Bridge Church. I pray for Brother Whitmore, Father, for his calling in life, Father. And Lord, we pray over our city. We pray for our pastors. We pray for our churches. We pray for peace in this world. We pray for America. We pray for peace in the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Whitmore, thank you for coming and being on the show.
Pastor King, thank you. It was a privilege and really a blessing.